this song and we hear the sermon for today. I'm praising on, everybody. The upward way. Are you praising on upward? Are you gaining new heights every day?
Lord, lift me up.
Lift me up.
Lord, lift me up.
Is that your prayer? Before we have our seats and before we sing another song, evidence that there is life is growth. Characteristics of living things grow. When you stop to grow, it is evidence that death has set in. And spiritually, we grow by the word of God. Is that right? And we thank God for a ministry like this where we have the living word of God. Can you put your hands together for the living God? In this generation, many Christians are spiritually dead. They have exchanged for sermons, motivational speeches. But we thank God that he has found a remnant in us. So we'll sing a song that says, "This is like heaven to me." Hymn 130. Hymn 130. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. Oh yes. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Hallelujah. This is like heaven to me. Praise God. Yes, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. The last stanza. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. Don't believe it, I see. Oh yes. But I'm filled with the Spirit. There isn't a doubt, and that's what's the matter with me. Is this like heaven to you? Oh, this is like heaven to me. It's like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Father, we commit the preaching of your word into your hands. We thank you for blessing us from the beginning of this service. As we continue, let your blessings abound in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Were you blessed by the Sunday school this morning? Were you blessed by the Bible study this morning?
Have you been blessed by the worship service? In Bright Assembly Church, there is no dull moment. You are in a living assembly. I'm so proud of what God is doing in this place. You are in a living assembly where the Holy Ghost has blessings for his people at every given time. Our pastor is around today, and yet he has asked me to preach this sermon. When the Geo is around. I thought somebody would have given a clap offering to the Lord for our pastor, or a clapping ovation for the pastor. When the Geo is around, it is well. While we are at Ghana for the Ghana Minister Conference, the church that organized the conference, when we ended the conference and were at the church on a Sunday, the same pastor asked me to preach. He is the guest, though. I went as PA, but he said I should preach. And while in the bathroom, before we went for the service that day, I received this inspiration. And he has asked that for those of us that didn't hear, that I should share it with us again so that we could be strengthened in the faith. It's a very short exhortation, but I believe the Lord will use it to bless us richly in Jesus' name. Let's turn our Bibles to Hosea chapter 9, verse 7. The book of Hosea chapter 9, verse 7. Hosea is after Daniel. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. Prophet Sunday. Prophet Jayala, Prophet Sydney. It is thus says the word of God. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is what? Is mad. So the title of my exhortation is a question to you and to me myself. Are you mad? Are you mad? You know, this question, to get an answer to this question, depends on who you are asking and the environment where you are asking this question. If you come to the church and I ask somebody, are you mad? The person might get angry and might not say anything because after all, I dey house of God. Let me comport myself. If you go to somewhere like Oshodi Underbridge, for those outside Lagos or outside Nigeria, Oshodi is a society, a locality here in Lagos State. And you ask one of the thugs there, are you mad? What is the response, the answer you will get to that question? Give somebody the mic. What's the answer you get to that question?
He will give you a slap.
He'll give you a slap. In fact, it depends on the mood of that particular talk. The Kaibu say,
wait and they come. Make I show you who they mad now. And he will break a bottle.
If you go to some other places also and ask, are you mad? They'll just look at you. What is this one saying? But the Lord is asking us this morning, are you mad? If somebody should ask you if you are mad, you will think the person wants to insult you. You will not take it lightly with the person. How can you say I'm mad? What gave you that audacity to ask me whether I am mad? But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, this morning, that the people of God always, always have been considered mad. Right from the days of Adam. Are we together? That is why the Bible says in Hosea 9:7 that the spiritual man is what? Is mad. God's people have always been considered mad people. And this is so because their ways are different from the ways of the normal people. Their thoughts are different. Their patterns are different. Their visions are different. You can tell that somebody is mad when you see the person doing something abnormal. You and I are in church today, all dressed gorgeously. If somebody should enter this compound naked, you will know that something is wrong with that person. What is the first thing that will come to your mind? It seems this person is mad. Is that right? Why? Because the person is doing something different from the norm. The person is doing something unusual. The person is doing something abnormal. So also it is with the people of God. We are always considered mad because our ways are not like the ways of mere mortal men. Our thoughts are not like the thoughts of mere mortal men. So if you ask me, Brother Olumide, show me a mad person, I will bring a man of God and a woman of God and tell you, see a mad person. This person is mad. This person is mad. And God loves to have it that way. Brethren, are you mad? In the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 26, if you can open briefly, you will discover that this same statement was made to Apostle Paul. He says, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. Let's go to verse 24 rather. Acts 26 verse 24. And as he does speak for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Can you see it? I want us to see a few scriptures before we bring it home to ourselves. In Jeremiah 29 verse 26, the prophet Jeremiah was also considered mad. He says, the Lord had made thee a priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that you should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that should just put him in prison and in the stocks. In the days of Jeremiah, the conditions in Israel had gotten so worse that when you come out and give a true message from the Lord, they will say you are mad. Paul was considered mad simply because he chose to serve God in the way that God revealed unto him. Are we together? Jeremiah was considered mad in his own generation simply because he received, thus says the Lord, and he gave it. Brethren, the same condition has risen up in this society today. Until you get to a condition, a situation, a state where men will look at you and simply because you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, they will say you are mad. You have not begun your journey. Praise the living God. The people of God must be mad. In John chapter 10 verse 10, even our master and savior was considered mad. Did I get that scripture well? Is it John 10:10? In the book of John, John chapter 10, probably a verse there. They looked at him and they said, did we not say that you are a Samaritan and you are mad? Why? Simply because he chose to follow God the right way. Are we together? If you are with me, shout amen. As funny as this question is, I want to reemphasize, brethren, that God has called us to be mad. Somebody say amen. So people are not taking it lightly. God has called us to be mad. Because if you look at the English word, mad, it is spelled which way? M-A-D. Are we together? You need to know the meaning of mad so that you can apply it to yourself. To be mad simply means to be making a difference. Praise the Lord. To be mad simply means to be making a difference. The Bible says you are a chosen generation. A what? A peculiar people. As Christians, as children of God, the simple fact that we have decided to follow the Lord Jesus has put a mark of separation between us and the world. The simple fact that you responded to the call of Jesus, come unto me and I will give you rest, has put a difference between you and the world. Such that if you will follow the Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth, you must be making a difference. You must be mad. Are we together? You must be mad. Men must look at you and you must be different from the natural man. People should look at you and say, why are you different or why are you mad? What exactly is wrong with this brother? What exactly is wrong with this sister? Because of the stand you take and the life you live, men must be able to say, you are mad. See Jude chapter 1 verse 22. Jude chapter 1 verse 22. And of some have compassion. Making what? Are we reading together? And of some have compassion. Making what? Making a difference. Being mad. Thank you, Brother Emma, for that scripture. John chapter 10 verse 20. If the Lord Jesus was considered mad, then you and I also must be what? He said, the servant is not higher than the master. John chapter 10 verse 20, please. If they have called me mad, what will they call you? And many of them said what? He had a devil. Who are they speaking about? He's the Lord Jesus. Have you ever seen this in the Bible? They said he is possessed. He has a devil. Not only is he possessed, he is what? Jesus is mad. If Jesus can be mad, what about you and I? Would you not like to be mad the way Jesus was? The Bible says he is the firstborn among what? Many mad people. No, you are not reading it very well. He's the firstborn among what? Many mad people. Now, this madness is necessary. The way some sisters are looking at me. This madness is necessary. You cannot say you are standing out with God and you are not mad. If you are not mad, it simply means you are compromising. You are moving in the same tide with the world. Why is this madness necessary? Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55. Here is God speaking. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither what? Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And your thoughts than your thoughts. The ways of God are not the ways of man. The thoughts of God are not the thought of man. And in the book of Amos chapter 3 verse 3, he says, can two walk together except what? Except they be agreed. Then if you are going to follow God, you must walk in God's ways. And you must follow God's thoughts. Are we together? This is what makes us mad. Because when you stand to take the way that God will take, men will look at you and say, what is wrong with you? This man is mad. When you stand to think what God wants you to think, people will look at you and say you are mad. Are we together? If you look at Noah in his own generation, Noah was a man that lived like you and I. And of a sudden, he heard a message from the Lord that there was going to be a flood. You must know that in Noah's days, it had never rained. It had never rained. They don't even know what that vocabulary, that word called rain, they don't even have it. They don't know what it is. But God told him there will be a flood. And then God told him, see this flood that is coming. The only way you will escape, Noah, build me this kind of ship. Build it this way, build it that way. Where Noah was building the ship, there was no water there. He was building the ship on dry land. And it took him a period of 120 years to prepare that ship. Brethren, was Noah, was he okay? Was he normal? Noah was very mad. Because the people of his days will come to him. Number one, Brother Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a ship. A ship. What is called a ship? It's to move on water. Why are you building a ship? Flood is coming. Which flood? Yeah. It's a pity. Tragedy. I could have seen the people of Noah's days talking behind him. That guy.
Village people don't do that.
Something has happened to him. Brethren, please pray for Brother Noah. Brethren, please pray for Brother Noah. Brothers and sisters, that is how it is with us in this generation. We are talking rapture, rapture, rapture. When scientists, they have their spaceship in space, they have rockets, International Space Station. You are telling them something will happen one day, you'll be raptured. They are there, they are looking at you. You fool, what do you know? You are mad. That is how it is. Everyone that will follow God in spirit and in truth, you will be considered mad. Everyone that will walk with God by revelation, you must be considered mad. It is not you choosing to be different. You are automatically different because you choose to follow God's way. Are we together? It had never rained. And for a period of over 100 years, a man kept building a ship, kept building a boat, simply because God told him it was going to rain. Scientifically, physically, it could not be proved. So something is definitely wrong with Noah. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible says what? For we walk by what? By faith and not by sight. For we walk by revelation and not by sight. Are we together? You will be in the church. A prophet will handle mic. And he'll be telling you, jump this way. Jump that way. Do this, do that. Music is not playing. Somebody that does not understand the things of the Spirit will be looking at him. What is wrong with these people? Is that not right? They are what? They are mad. We need to drive it home, brothers and sisters. Because in this generation, God is looking for mad people. Many people claiming to follow Christ are no longer mad. They are no longer making a difference. The world has become churchy and the church has become worldly. This is the generation where somebody will be on net, will be on TV doing Big Brother Niger, and then the same person will go to his church and thank God. I want to thank God that I'm part of the contestants, even if I didn't come first, for they just concluded Big Brother Niger and the church will clap. This is the generation where pastors, prophets are the leaders of all manner of drug syndicates, money laundering groups, and things like that. God is looking for people that will stand out in this generation. God is looking for people that will say, even if the whole world will not follow you your own way, I will follow you the right way, although I will be considered mad by the world. Brothers and sisters, it is necessary. Until you can be looked upon in your family, in your working place, in your business place, and they look at you and say you are mad. Until you can be looked upon and they consider you mad, you might only be compromising and not know that you are not following God the right way. Praise the living God. Everyone that successfully followed the Lord was considered mad. What about Abraham? Are we together, brethren? The Lord told him you are going to have a son when he was 75 years old and Sarah was how old? 65. And for how many years Abraham kept on believing the promise? Even before you talk of the promise, one morning he woke up and God told him, Abraham, separate from your father, your mother, your kindred, your people, follow me, I will take you to a land and I will do this, I will do that, in Genesis 12. And the man stood up and obeyed. Can you see something? Is that normal? Is that normal? Can you see what it cost Abraham to be fine with God? I could have seen his father looking at him. What has come over my son? Oh, you these people of Babylon, you have fired my son. An arrow of madness. But no, it was not an arrow of madness. It was obedience to the voice of the Lord. Are we together? In this generation, a young sister will go to her working place, a beautiful lady. Everybody is wearing trousers and miniskirt. And then you are dressing modestly to cover up. What will they say to you? They'll look at you and say, what? Are you? So why am I saying all this? When you are confronted with that question, are you mad? What should be your answer? Yes, I am mad. Simply because I am making a difference. Are we together? Let's see more examples of madmen in the word of God. Abraham left his father's house, left all the wealth to follow God. And please, Abraham did not inherit that promise. It was four generations after that he inherited the promised land. So can you see a very madman? But I will follow God. He asked me to go with him that way. As if that were not enough, after Abraham got the promise of a son, one beautiful morning, God spoke to him, that your son that you love, what's his name? Isaac. Isaac Abi. Take him to the mountain. Go and kill him there. That is the sacrifice I want. Sure, you love God. You love God. You will follow him. I want to thank God that Abraham never told Sarah his wife. Praise the living God. Because if you have told Sarah that, see what God told me and I want to do it, that's when you will know that mothers are different from fathers. The woman will let you know, I carried him in my womb for 9 months. It's from me. I carried him. But he obeyed. And he laid the altar. He bound his son. And he took the knife to kill his son. Why? Because God asked him to. Was Abraham a normal man, brethren? He wasn't. If the servant had, the Bible said two servants followed him. Probably Abraham told them, okay, you people, go and stand in that place. Let me offer the sacrifice. Because nobody will hear or see what Abraham wants to do and not say something is wrong with him. Am I talking to you? It's not about Abraham, it's about you and I. Nobody will see what Abraham wants to do and say this man is normal. If people were seeing when Abraham took the knife to kill his son, they would have shouted and they would have run. The first thing they would do is to hold him. Hold him or tie him or let him not go away. Tie him or, what has happened? Please call everybody. Father Abraham, hey, who did this? Who did this to us? That is what they have said. But a man was obeying God. A man was proving to God that I love you. I will do what you want me to do. And when he took the knife and was about to stab his son, the power of God held his hand. And God told Abraham something. He said, now I know that thou fearest me indeed. You didn't get it. It was after that test that he passed that God could say, now I know. I'm reading Genesis 22. That thou fearest me indeed. Then God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham based on a simple action of faith. Brethren, if you will go to heaven, you must be mad. Are we together? If you will go to heaven, you must be mad. How can you reason with Abraham? What is it? You cannot explain it. You want to carry your son, mommy, and kill him. Mommy, what did you say?
I said, God forbid.
Mommy said, God forbid. That is what everybody would have said if Abraham had told them, this is what God said. Are we together? The Bible says I should not dress in the way of the world. The Bible says I should not behave the way of the world. You are hearing the same voice that Abraham was hearing. So if others are doing it, you need to stand out for God. Then they will look at you and say something is wrong with you. You are very mad. Briefly, what about Job? Another example of a very mad man in his generation was Job. We all know the story of Job. Many people don't like to give their son that name, Job. Praise the Lord. All my life, there's only one brother that I've heard bearing Job. And the brother is in the choir, Brother Kingsley Job. It's not even his name, it's his surname. In one day, a man received a bad report that all his investments All his wealth. As if that were not enough. 10 children died in one day. And it was in the same day, the same hot afternoon, where Job was sitting down in his house, that all these reports came to him. Brethren, if it is you, what will you do? Praise the living God. If it is you, what would have happened to you? Some of us will not even do anything. Automatic cardiac arrest. You just collapse, even from the shock alone. But the man stood up. Can we read Job chapter 1 verse 20? So you should know that people have always been mad right from time. It is just in this generation where Christians don't want to be mad again. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and began to cry. He fell down upon the ground and began to weep. He fell down upon the ground and began to lament. Why me? God, why me? God, why me? Is that what he did? The Bible said he fell down upon the ground and did what? Verse 21. And Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is this man a normal man? Madness confirmed. Thank you. And this is how God wants us to be. Some people, just because of one disappointment, they will not come to church for the rest of the year. How can I be going to that church after I came to the altar and drop offering? After I said amen to the pastor's pronouncement and this thing happened to me? No, no. God, no, not me. Father, am I not serving you? Am I not this? What has happened to you that has not happened to somebody before? The greatest gift God can give you is eternal life, and he can't take it back. And I want you to know, when God has given you eternal life, you are already an heir of God. All things belong to you. The Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but what? Joy cometh in the morning. God did not promise us that storms cannot arise. But you should have an assurance that Jesus is with you in that boat. Such that when the storm comes, you are not supposed to shake like people that don't have hope. That was what Job was doing. How many of us have come to this state of mind that Job had? Some of us, if we lose our job or something should happen to our shop, the pastor will become automatic enemy, as if it is the pastor's fault. As if it is the pastor's fault. Some of us, no more coming to church. No more coming to church. No more serving God. Why? Because you tried it. It did not happen. You are not yet mad. You are not yet mad. No, I'm not judging you. I'm only telling you, you are not yet mad. Sorry. A man that has lost his mind for God, whether good or bad. See, Job did not even accuse Satan. He did not say, hey, my enemies have got me. He knew where he was standing. You mean, as prayerful as I am, I'm serving God, there's no sin in my life, I'm prayerful, I'm living a life pleasing before God, I'm a child of God, and this happened to me, then definitely God permitted it. Father, no matter what may come my way, I will praise you forevermore. Evidence of a madman. Are you mad? I'm asking you, church, are you mad? Some of us cannot answer. Because we cannot behave the way this man behaved. We cannot live the way they lived. And it is necessary unto us as heirs of the kingdom of God to be like this man, to be mad as they were. In one day, a man lost everything and yet he stood up and praised God. The Bible says, neither did he charge God foolishly with his mouth. And at the end, you saw the reward. In James chapter 5, verse 10, 11. He said, you have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen how it is good for you to endure. Verse 11. He says, that the Lord is very pitiful, and what? Of tender mercy. Another madman I know in the Bible is Moses. Yes, a prophecy came that Moses was going to deliver Egypt. If you listen to the sermon of our pastor last week, he tried by his own power and he could not do it. And he ran for his life. He even forgot about the prophecy. For 40 years, he was living as a fugitive. And then one morning, God appeared to him and said, Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt. Sending you to Egypt to do what? To take over, to release Israel. How? With a rod in your hand. Are we together? It is like gathering maybe the talks in Lagos State and saying, Lagos State alone in Nigeria, the talks in Lagos State want to go to war against Russia and China together. It is what? Mission impossible. Egypt was the world's superpower that day. If you are talking of conquering Egypt to deliver Israel, then there must be a greater military power. Then a man came with a stick, walking stick, and said he's going to take over Egypt to release over 2 million people. Please, what is wrong with that man? Is he okay? There are visions that only you can see. If you are telling another person a vision that God gave you, the person might think you are mad. But if God has spoken, be rest assured that it will be fulfilled. Madman Moses took a walking stick in his hand, went to Egypt, and with a walking stick in his hand, he was able to bring out 2 million people. If you had told Moses before he went, Moses came and met you. This is what God said I should go and do. You look at him. How? Are we going to call Ethiopia, call Babylon, call Iran, call all these nations and join forces together so that we can conquer Egypt? Moses said, no. How do you want to conquer Egypt? Just like this. God's ways are not our ways. Are we together? Brother, this is something very simple, yet many of us jump over it. If you will follow God successfully, you must be odd. You must be different. What do you think came over David when a little boy stood before a giant that even taller people and mightier people saw the giant and ran for their life? David was mad because of something he knew. Everyone that walks with God by revelation, you'll be mad to the world. Everyone that follows the leading of the Spirit, you'll be mad to the carnal people. What is the essence of this message this morning? You cannot be in between. It's either you as a child of God, it's either you are mad or you are compromising. Are we together? It's either you are truly making a difference or you are moving with the world unknown to you. The purpose of this is so that we could check ourselves and know whether truly, by my lifestyle, am I making a difference? Am I standing out away from the world? Brethren, there's one madman I know. A very, very madman by the name of Pastor Moses. Daddy, with due respect, sir. I will tell you, he's very mad, though. Several of us were here on Friday night. How many of us were here on Friday? You heard when he was telling us a story of his own closest friend. That's the first car we drive, he bought it for him. Whatever the man is, a retired general, it was by his own doing. And then when things were tough for him, this same man blasted him, looked down on him. One day he called him and the man shouted on him. And he said, on the phone, instantly, tears began to drop from his eyes. Now, see where the madness comes in. Then God told him that they will switch positions. Brethren, let's be very, very frank. As a normal man, there's a way somebody will treat you when things change. Not because you want to wicked that person, no. At most, you will be cut off from that person. But do you know where I'm going? Today, he is the one sustaining the same person. He did not even call him, oh boy. You remember what you did to me that time? Can you see what it means to follow Jesus? He said, if men should slap you on the right cheek, you should do what? Only a madman can do that. Only a madman can do that. That you will slap me on the right cheek. Myself, Olumide, Jesus, David. And I'll say, I did grace, but that's what God wants. God wants us to be mad. Apart from that, one Wednesday morning, tractors, bulldozers came to Bride Assembly in Jesha and scattered the whole church. Then a mad pastor and mad church members came. And they started clearing. Then on Friday night, this mad pastor and mad church members that they just scattered 18 plots of land, they started having open air crusade. What is wrong with these people? They are mad. As if that were not enough, the next week was December camp. Pastor Moses, they just scattered your church. And so what? No. They did not scatter the church. They scattered the building. The church is the people. The building is not the church. Pastor Moses, what is wrong with you? All your labor for the past how many years? No, that is not my labor. My labor is in preaching the gospel and souls are being won. Brethren, especially we ministers, let us learn. The first thing a man of God does when he starts to pastor is the structure, the mega structure, the church. It is the achievement of many pastors. We now have our own sites. We now have our own land. That's the achievement of many pastors. But you see a mad pastor, they scattered his church. Service continues. Now, as if that were not enough, see where the madness is. See where the madness is. This was December 2012. Then May 1st, 2013, church that is looking for money, church that should be saying, what do we do? Do we live here and go and look for land somewhere else? May 1st, 2013. Instead of them to concentrate on, let's build church now, they say no. They launched a 24-hour TV station. I can tell you this, it is not normal. All members, you are here under canopy. Rain was beating you. Rain was beating you on a Sunday service. Those days, if you wear fine clothes, come church. Sorry. Because you will be drenched in water. Then you will leave praise and worship. No, you won't even leave it. While they are dancing, while they are singing, people are packing water and rejoicing. Mad church members. With a mad pastor. Simply because somebody has a revelation that the gospel should not be hindered by a church building. His duty is to preach the gospel, not to build a structure. Because somebody has a revelation that the people are the church, not this building. Then 7 years after, see where we are today. Brethren, it pays to be mad for God. I can talk about him very well because he's a father to me and I learn so much from him. I've been working with him for a few years now. I know the sacrifices that this man makes. Apostle Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ and ourselves, his servant for your sake. Let me tell you something. Another reason why this man is mad is because of the stand he's taking. In the end time message, the number one enemy today is Brother Moses. You people are seeing him as a pastor. Outside, they're seeing him as Antichrist. Outside, they're seeing him as Antichrist, son of Satan. If Antichrist is no more from Rome, he's from Bride Assembly Church. His name is Moses Alu. Why? You are saying that Brother Abraham died with the gifts. You are saying that God is no more speaking in his church. You are saying that revelation has ended. You are saying that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it will begin to sound, all the mysteries of God should be finished. And a man that is studying his Bible, Who is interested in pleasing God and not in pleasing man? Said to Luke, God takes his servants, but his work continues. He takes his workmen, but his work continues. The Bible says the path of the just is as a light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Yes, but Abraham died in 1965, but the bride of Christ is still here. Are you saying Brother Abraham died with the Holy Ghost? If Brother Abraham has died, the Holy Ghost is still in the church. He will continue to speak. He will continue to walk. He will continue to reveal things in the scripture. For this sake, we now have an international madman in Brother Moses. You don't know the association, the people he has lost as friends simply because of this stand. A man will stand up and tell you, Brother Abraham brought nothing new. To a normal mental message believer, that man is mad. Brother Abraham did not bring anything new. Brother, you are mad. Brother, you are mad. Brother Abraham did not bring anything new. But he is talking by revelation. Revelation indeed will make you mad. Why am I saying this? There are so many more things I could say, even about him alone. He's still living in a rented apartment in Lagos. And over 600 million naira has been spent on Bright TV airtime alone. Pastor, 21st century. Pastor, it be like say, we'll go do prophetic action on top, Pastor. The way I'm seeing it, it be like say that they do Pastor from Akwanga. Brasidney, are you confirming it? Because why has he not built a house for himself? It's like powers from Akwanga are following Pastor. Okay, he's mad. Oh, he's mad. Church, put your hands together for the Lord. If you are not mad, it simply means you are moving with the world. You are a beautiful sister. You choose to dress modestly. See, nobody say if you wear trousers or shawarma or skimpy dress. Nobody say you no get past them. Nobody say if you move, men no go turn their head. Nobody say if you put that thing on, people start falling under anointing anytime they see you. Or they'll start whistling. But why? You choose to make a difference. You choose to be mad. A daughter of God knows that the woman is the most beautiful creature that God has. A daughter of God, see, man, God created man. He said he formed man from the dust of the ground. But when it comes to woman, the language there, he designed the woman. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. That scripture is more for women. Now, this is the thing. A daughter of God that chooses to be mad identifies that and knows that that gift called beauty, simply because I'm a woman, if it gets into the hand of Satan, it will cause more havoc. So what will I do? I will keep and cover myself as a daughter of God. You are making a difference. Stop moving with the world, sisters. Enough is enough of our sisters opening their breasts for a man to see a little peak. Enough is enough of you wearing the tight thing so that all your shape and bum bum will be seen. It is not for Christian sisters. Enough is enough of wearing short skirts and tight clothes. Be mad. Be mad. Make a difference. Make a difference. You don't need any man to tell you are beautiful. The mere virtue of being a woman, it connotes beauty. Make a difference. Don't be like the world. Let them see you in your working place, in your business place, in your school, and let them know that you are truly mad. If everybody is going this way, I will go this way. Brothers, what about us? Let's be mad. Brothers in Ladipo markets, brothers in Aspanda, brothers on Lagos Island selling goods. Let's be mad. Don't change the label of the product and call it Germany when it is China. Be mad. Don't say it is Italian shoe when you know it is from Aba. Be mad. Don't give warranty of 2 years when you know that you can only be sure of 3 months. Be sincere. Let me show you an example of madmen in the Bible. The three Hebrew boys, a king called Nebuchadnezzar that had the power to throw them into fire, erected an image. And they came out one morning and said, everybody, this is the commandment of the king. If you don't bow to this image, I will kill you. As soon as they heard the music, nobody remembered the God they are serving. Everybody started bowing to the image. But there were three madmen. They stood. It's like the madness that was worrying them. It don't take for their body. No be new madness. They stood. Because when they were brought before the king could not imagine it. What is going on? I gave an order. And you are mad enough not to bow to the image. Okay, another chance. If the music plays and you don't bow, eat the fire 7 times more. These madmen, for you to know that they are seriously disturbed by madness. They say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, oh God, take your time, oh. Take your time. I know they look face for this matter. I know look face. I know they look with your face. Nebuchadnezzar, take your time. I don't have, you see, I'm not bowing to your image. What an insult. Are you mad? And Nebuchadnezzar did what he could do. The Bible says, do not be afraid of them that can only hurt the body, but cannot hurt the soul. Nebuchadnezzar did what he could do. He threw them into the fire. You may lose your job because you don't want to open your laps for a useless man in your office. You may lose your job because you choose to be mad. You may suffer loss in your business because you choose to be mad. But enter the fire first and see whether there will not be a fourth man in the fire. He says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the dead. Until you have that mindset that I am mad for Jesus, do your worst. Do your worst. Is it fire? He said, see what they said. They said, our God is able. Yes. My God is able to make all the customers that come to this market. He's able to make them to come to me that is telling the truth that the product is China. He's able. But even if he doesn't, that's the madness. That is where the madness comes in. If you know that God will give you back in return, it's simple now. It's very simple. In fact, you start advertising. Number one product from China, this shop. Because you know that God will bring all the customers. But the madness is, even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow. Even if God does not prosper my business, I will not lie. Are you mad? Are you willing to be that mad? Even if my business suffers loss because I am saying the truth for Christ's sake, I will remain mad. Are you ready? Even if I lose that job, I will be different. Are you ready? And they did it. They were thrown into the fire. But what did God do? God has never called a man to useless his life. Did you hear that? God has never called a man to useless his life. This might be tough for you, but continue being mad for God. There is a beautiful end. Are we together? I remember how I had so much pressure to leave this church too. There's one brother that I saw his comment on Facebook some time back. I could remember years back how he was saying no manner of evil things against the church and the pastor. To get me to leave. The funny thing is, he's one of those that will tell you, we were those that started from Antonio Bay. You know, they are the elders in Bride Assembly. They'll tell you that those that started from 19 Abraham when the church started. Why should I leave the church? No reason. Has the word of God been misplaced in the church? No. The gifts of the Spirit, are they no longer manifesting in the church? No. So what is your problem? Why should I leave the church? Pastor Moses this. Pastor Moses that. The worst one they'll say is Bride Assembly does not have love. The church is not a museum for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. Leave us. We don't have love. Leave us. God is working on us. I chose to be mad. My prayer group, Brandon BC, we belong to the same prayer group. Many of our group members are still in this church. Many of those that will go to mountain together and clap, Asimoku Baba, are still here. I chose to be different. to follow the light that God has shown me. If anybody had told me 10 years ago, Lumide, I see you being an assistant pastor in the church, I'll say, okay, keep it to yourself. But can you see the reward of being different? Can you see the reward of being different? Why am I saying this? Be mad first. Take a stand for God first. Let people know in that market there is a Christian. No, there is a madman that is always telling the truth. Let people know that there is a mad woman that is never immoral. Let people know that there is a madman, a mad woman that has integrity. Whether you make the money fast or not, be mad first. God, the Bible, the Lord Jesus said, they asked him, we are forsaking all and followed you. He said, not only in the life to come, but even in this life, there is a reward. Brethren, we can go on and keep talking. We must be mad. That is the simple message to us this afternoon. If you are not mad, you are only compromising. You must make a difference. It says in John 3:8 that as you cannot tell where the wind bloweth, the wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming or where it's going. He says what? So is everyone that is mad, that is born of the Spirit. Sorry. Are we together? Our lives must be unique. We must be peculiar. We must stand out. We must be making a difference. So wherever you are, he said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. God is not looking for you to shout fire, fire in that market or in that society where you are. He's not looking for you to, when they say anything, say yes, Holy Ghost fire, no. He's looking for you to stand out first with your life. Brethren, are you mad? Except a man be mad, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you are mad, can you jump on your feet and shout hallelujah? Except a man be mad, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can you take that prayer? Father, give me the grace to make a difference. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord, somebody.
In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. So if you see me misbehaving, you know that I'm mad. Sit down first. We must make a difference. We must make a difference. We must be known to be making a difference. What did they talk? My mother saw us worshiping online through the TV and said, we are not normal. Hey! That she has not seen such ever. But Olumide, your message this morning is a spiritual hammer. May God help us to be more mad in making difference. Brother Edward from Enugu State, God bless you. We must be making a difference wherever we are. And the only reason why you can make a difference is only if you have an anchor. An anchor. An anchor.
Will your anchor in the storms of life when the strong times lead and the cable strain, will your anchor shift
We have
Amen. It's a question. The only thing that makes you make a difference, wherever you are, in your school, in your colleges, for those who are students, your place of business, anywhere you are, your environment, in your village. The only thing is the question that you're asking. It's an anchor. So that song says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? All the challenges we have. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, will your anchor hold you? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor shift or it will remain firmly? That's what that song is saying. But we have an anchor that keeps the soul. It is revelation of what is ahead. For the joy that is set before you. Amen. That's what keeps us going. The revelation that we are in this world, but not of this world. No matter what I face now, my kingdom is not of this world. So I will not compromise my faith for anything. The only reason you will make a difference is if you refuse to compromise. That's all. The spirit that makes you mad is the spirit that will not make you compromise. And may that be our testimonies in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's go straight to take our tithes while the children are getting ready.